Sister Bhikkhuni, dear friends in the Dhamma, this is our last talk for this retreat. Since it is the last talk, as well as some of you at least have a glimpse of Vipassana, I would like to talk on Vipassana today. For this Dhamma talk, our topic is what Vipassana is, or what is Vipassana? What is Vipassana? This is the uniqueness of Buddhism. This is the unique teaching of the Buddha. You cannot find Vipassana in any other faith. If you try, that is just like you are trying to milk the cow from the horn of the cow. You never get it. Vipassana means see through, insight. When you have vipassana, when you have insight, you can see inside. So vipassana means insight, penetration, or see through, or cut through. That's the meaning. If anyone has the vipassana, in anyone has insight, he has the knowledge of three characteristics. What are the three characteristics? Three characteristics of existence of all things, all animate or inanimate things. What are the three characteristics? Impermanence, unsatisfactoriness, and soullessness. He who has this knowledge, this experience, has insight. So insight means, really it means, this is what one can see, the three characteristics of existence. If one has the knowledge, the experience of at least one characteristic, suppose while you are practicing, you see something is changing. All the time it is changing. There is arising, the nature of arising, nature of perishing. You see this. That is all right. That is what is called vipassana. That is the first characteristics of the three. He who sees one sees the others also. Three characteristics of existence. So vipassana, the term vipassana has two parts. Vipassana. Two parts. V is a prefix which denotes divide. It means divide, separate, or vivid. True. This is the meaning. V means that. Passana. Passana means passana or passati means see. So see separately, see vividly, dividedly. You see through. That is what vipassana is. Not like a block. You see the change in nature of the object. You see the particles, subatomical particles. That is the meaning. Not as blocks. You can divide all things. You can see, when you see the people, sometimes you see not the people, but just skeleton-like. Or you see something, you see where there are the four elements. You see the solidity, liquidity, mobility, heat. You see this. That is what is inside. Through insight, you can see these things. You can see this, first of all, you can see this within. That is why we have to practice mindfulness of breathing, mindfulness of body, mindfulness of feelings, mindfulness of mind, and mindfulness of Dhamma. So we practice sort of inside introversion, that is introversion experience. We always try to see inside. So when we practice, we can understand these things. There are two definitions for insight, for vipassana. Vividena pasyati vipassana. Vivida is vivid. You see vividly. That is what is vipassana, vividly. Vividena pasyati vipassana. And the other one is visheshena pasyati vipassana. Vishesha is specially. You see something especially. When you see something especially, you see these three characteristics. The characteristics of impermanence, unsatisfactoriness, and soullessness. That is how we have to understand vipassana. In order to gain this, in order to develop this vipassana, what should be done? How should we get this vipassana? It is only through meditation, only through serenity. Serenity, you have to practice serenity to switch to insight. Without serenity, you cannot practice insight. You cannot gain insight. You have to practice serenity at least for some extent. So when we practice mindfulness, we practice develop our serenity and insight both. So the Buddha designed this very special technique for meditation based on both serenity and insight. That technique is the Satipatthana technique, the mindfulness, establishments of mindfulness. As I think you can remember that we discussed about the four establishments of mindfulness. That particular discourse from beginning to the end is both serenity and insight. Samatha Vipassana. So he who is practicing serenity get a chance to practice, understand, develop insight. Serenity and insight both. This meditation, insight meditation, is in other words called wisdom meditation. Whether you call insight meditation or wisdom meditation, both the same. So when you have insight, you have wisdom. Wisdom is panya in Pali. Panya. The Buddha, in his first sermon, the first sermon said, Chakkhum udapadi, jnanam udapadi, panya udapadi, vidya udapadi, aloka udapadi. In me, chakkhum udapadi. Chakku is the vision of the Dhamma. Chakku. That vision is the three characteristics of existence. When the first disciple, Venerable Kondanya, when he realized the Dhamma, he himself got this knowledge. That is But whatever is in the nature of arising, it is in the nature of perishing. That is the knowledge we gain whenever we have insight. Whatever is in the nature of, in the process of changing, it is in the process of, it is arising and perishing, arising and perishing. So everything is in this process of changing. There is nothing permanent in the whole system of the universe. No permanent entity to be grasped as soul or self. That is the reality. That is what is impermanence. So when we have insight, we have wisdom. Wisdom and knowledge are two different things. Knowledge is not wisdom. We can gain knowledge through many sources. You can read, you can watch TV, and you can listen to sermons and get knowledge. That is not wisdom. Wisdom arises only when your mind is calm. Wisdom arises in the quiet mind. When you have calm mind, when you have developed mind, it arises always together with mindfulness. That means where there is mindfulness, there is wisdom. When you are listening to radio or watching TV, you are not mindful. You just collect some data and you fill up things. Eventually some sort of garbage. All this to be shunned. Otherwise we cannot cleanse this mind. So when we practice mindfulness, we develop wisdom. As I said, mindfulness and wisdom go together. Where there is mindfulness, there is wisdom. So whenever you practice mindfulness, you are practicing wisdom too. That is through which you can cut through the defilements. It is the way for the complete eradication of defilements. In the time of the Buddha, there was a very tough, rough person, a devil-like person. He was called Alavaka. It is according to the literature, he was a devil. However, as he was such a quite cruel person, he was called a devil. One day the Buddha visited him. By the time he was not there in his home, then the Buddha got a seat there, and then after a while he came. When he came, he saw that the Buddha was sitting inside. Then he said, Shramana. He calls the Buddha Shramana. Shramana means the monk. Get out, Shramana, he said. So Buddha obediently went out. And then he said, come in, Shramana. He called, come in again. And again the Buddha came in. Being so humble, the Buddha came in. And then second time he said, get out, Shramana. Buddha went out. He again said, come in, Shramana. Buddha came in. For the third time he said the same thing. Buddha did the same thing. The Buddha came in. Now for the fourth time, he said, get out, Shramana. Buddha said, no, I do not get out now. If you can do anything, do it. Buddha said, if you can do anything, do it. Then he said, well, I ask a question. If you can't answer this question, I'll take you by your feet and throw over the river Ganges. Then the Buddha said, friend, in the whole world system, there's none who can take me by my feet and throw over the river Ganges. But if you want to ask a question, you may. Then he asked, Kinsu the vittang purisasya settang, Kinsu suchinno sukama vahati, Kinsu have sadhutarang rasanang, Katang jeeving jeevitamahu settang. Not only one question here, four questions he asked. He asked, Kinsu the vittang purisasya settang, what is the best wealth for man? Kinsu suchinnu sukama vahati, when acquire, when collect, what gives happiness? Kinsu suchinnu sukama vahati, kinsu have sadhutarang rasanang, of all taste, what is the best? Kinsu have sadhutarang rasanang, of all the taste, what is the best? Kinsu have sadhutarang rasanang, katang jeeving jeevitamahu settang, what is the best way of life? The Buddha said, saddi the vittang purisasya settang, the best wealth for man is conviction. Saddha, confidence. Conviction, confidence, you can use this word. Confidence, either confidence or conviction. Shraddha. It is not faith. Saddhi davittan, the best wealth for man is conviction, confidence. Dhammo suchinno sukama vahati, when acquired, dhamma, dhamma here means wholesome deeds. When acquired wholesome deeds, when do good deeds, more and more good deeds, it gives happiness. Dhammo suchinno sukama vahati. Satchang have sadhutarang rasanang, of all taste of truth is the best, Buddha said. And finally the Buddha said, Panya jivin jivitamahu settam. Panya jivin. What is panya jivin? Panya is wisdom. The life led by wisdom is the best life. That is how the Buddha emphasized the significance of wisdom. Wisdom is threefold. Sutamaya panya, chintamaya panya, bhavanamaya panya. Sutamaya panya means receive wisdom. We have received wisdom. That is what we gain knowledge, sort of knowledge through many sources. That is called receive wisdom. Sutamaya panya in Pali. Then the second one is chintamaya panya. Chinta means thinking. Recollecting, thinking deeply, you think and come to the conclusion, this is it. That is what is called chintamaya panya. Reflective wisdom, you can say reflective wisdom. Chintamaya panya. And the third one is called bhavanamaya panya. Bhavana means meditation. That is the experiential wisdom. This is what we call insight. Experiential wisdom. You get this as an experience. You experience the Dhamma. That is called Bhavanamaya Panya. So the Buddha emphasized this, to development of paññā, development of wisdom. It is only through wisdom we can understand our defilements, latent tendencies, all taints we can understand, only through wisdom. In order to develop wisdom, we have to practice. When we practice, the Buddha gave us the instruction, clear instructions. Buddha said, once said, kumbhupamang kaya mimang viditva, nagarupamang chittamidang tapetva, yodeta marang panya yudena, jitang cha rakhe aniveshanosya. What is this? Kumbhupamang kaya mimang viditva. Keep the body as a fragile pot. Keep the body, this is how you to practice. Keep the body as a fragile pot. Nagarupamang chitta midang tapetva. Keep the mind as a fortified city, well protected city. Nagarupamang chitta midang tapetva. Then, yodeta marang panya ayudena. Panya ayuda means the tool, the weapon of panya, weapon of wisdom. So, hit the mara with the weapon of panya, wisdom. The mara here means defilements. So, cut through, cut these defilements through the weapon of wisdom. That is the meaning. So, wisdom, what is the opposite of wisdom? The opposite of wisdom is ignorance. Ignorance. What ignorance means? Ignorance means not knowing the Four Noble Truths. Ignorance means not knowing of the Four Noble Truths. You know, when we recite the formula of the dependent origination, we recite it like avijja. Ignorance is avijja in Pali. Avijja paccha sankara, dependent on ignorance arises all formations, volitional formations. That is how it starts it. Avijja paccha sankhara, sankhara paccha vijnanam, like that. So, all these formations, volitional formations come to be because of ignorance. So, once we develop our wisdom, we can cut off these formations. Some people think that as this formula starts with the word ignorance, avijja, they think that avijja is the first cause. But in Buddhism there is no first cause. Avijja itself comes to be because of some causes, some reasons. There are some reasons for the existence of avijja, for the existence of ignorance. The cause of ignorance is five hindrances that avijja, the ignorance come to be. So if we develop our mind, if we develop our wisdom, then we can see things as they are. Where we have the knowledge of the Four Noble Truths, then we can get the results of practicing vipassana. How we get the results of practicing vipassana? Avijja, if we have developed our wisdom, then we have no ignorance. If we have no ignorance, then there is no way where there is no formations, then formations comes to cease. When there is no formations, no consciousness. Consciousness comes to cease. When there is no consciousness, there is no mentality and materiality. When there is no mentality and materiality, there are no six senses. When there are no six senses, there is no contact. When there is no contact, there is no feeling. When there is no feeling, there is no craving. When there is no craving, there is no attachment. When there is no attachment, there is no existence. When there is no existence, there is no birth. When there is no birth, no aging. Death, sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, all this gone. This is the result. This is the result of practicing vipassana. This is the way to cease birth. That is to come to the state of birthlessness. When there is no existence, there is no birth. That is the state of birthlessness. Where there is the state of birthlessness, there is the state of deathlessness. That is what is called Nibbana. That is the best result of practicing vipassana. This is the technique. Vipassana technique was rediscovered and revealed by the Buddha for this purpose. In the time of the Buddha, there was a Brahmin ascetic named Bhavari. He was 120 years old ascetic. He had 500 disciples. Of them all, there were 16 prominent disciples. This person, this ascetic, used to perform sacrifices to propitiate the creator, God, the Brahma. One day, after his sacrifices, he came back to his hermitage. When he came back to his hermitage, he saw there was another ascetic, Brahmin ascetic, was quite bad looking, like his whole body was covered with dust and matted hair and the reddish teeth. He was not like pleasant looking. So he asked 500 golden coins from this ascetic. But as he was an ascetic, he had no such thing. He said, "How can I give you 500 pieces of gold? I haven't got." Then this guest ascetic said, "Well, when asked if you do not give me, may your head split into seven within 7 days." He cursed. That is how he cursed. Then this person got upset. This Brahmin's Bhavari got upset. And he was displeased, disheartened, dismayed. He could do nothing. He started to think what to do. Now within 7 days, he thinks that within 7 days, my head might split into seven. With that fear, he started to think. Then there appeared a deity, one of his relatives from his previous lives. Now this time he came, appeared there and said, "Don't worry. Don't be afraid. He himself does not know what the head is. He himself does not know what splitting is. Therefore, this won't happen. Don't worry of this. Don't be afraid of this. And then he asked, "Then who knows head and splitting? What is head? What is splitting? Splitting of the head." The deity, he said, I also don't know. Only Buddha knows this. Then he asks, where the Buddha is then? Buddha is living far away place in a particular monastery. He said, better you go there and meet the Buddha and ask what the head is, what the splitting is, splitting of the head. As he was old person, 120 years old, he thought it is better send some of his disciples. As he had the prominent 16 students, the disciples, he asked them to go and meet the Buddha and ask what is the meaning of head and the splitting of the head. So, when they were asked to go there, they wanted to know how to recognize the Buddha. As they have never seen the Buddha, so they wanted to know how to recognize the Buddha. This the Brahmin said, as you know the 32 characteristics, 32 features of the great man, when you go there, you can see the Buddha and you can recognize the Buddha. And further, this teacher instructed his disciples, when they go there, ask questions mentally, not verbally, not verbal questions. Go there and ask questions first verbally, mentally, mental questions. So mentally ask this. But mentally first ask, who is our teacher? How old is he? How many disciples he has? Like this, three questions ask first mentally. So they went there to meet the Buddha, and as they approached, they saw some other people in the hall. They sat some in the hall and they asked the questions. There was the one student named Ajita. He asked questions first. He asked, who is our teacher? The Buddha then said, your teacher is Bhavari. So there no person to ask question. Buddha simply answered. Buddha said something. The all other people saw that, they heard that the Buddha answered to a question. No one was there to ask the question. Then Buddha said, they asked, mentally they asked, how old is he? The Buddha said, he is 120 years old. Again they asked, how many disciples he has? Your teacher has 500 disciples. When this conversation is going on, the other people say, what is this? Finally, they ask what is head is and what is this splitting means, splitting of the head. When this question was put to the Buddha, Buddha said, head means ignorance. Head means ignorance, avijja. Splitting of the head is splitting of ignorance. That is how the Buddha answered to this question. This same student, Ajita, then they all wanted to ask many questions. All the 16 wanted to ask questions. Ajita asked this question then. Kena suniuto loko, kena sunappakasati, kisa vilepanam brusi, kinsu tassa mahabhayam. This is in verses. Kena suniuto loko, Bante, Venerable Sir, with what the world is shrouded? World is covered. With what? This is the question. With what the world is covered? Kena sunyuto loko. Kenasu na prakasati, because of what one cannot see this, because of what why one cannot see this. Kenasu na prakasati. Kisabi lepanam brusi, tell me with what the world is smeared. Kinsu tassa mahabhayam, what is the greatest fear to him? Here, friends, the world means, according to Buddhism, world means basically oneself, the person. The Buddha said this whole system of the world is within. So in this context too, the world means the person. He asked, with what the world is covered, shrouded, covered? Why one can't see it? With what the world is smeared? This person is smeared with what? And then, what is his greatest fear? These are the questions he asked. The Buddha answered, avijjāya niyuto loko vevicchā pamādāna prakāsati japa vilepanam rūmi dukkhaṁ tassa mahābhayaṁ. Avijjāya niyuto loko, it is the avijjā, it is the ignorance through which the person is covered. We all are covered with ignorance. Ignorance is the worst thing. There is no beginning of ignorance. Once the Buddha said, ito pubbe avijja nahosi ata paccha sambhaveti. One cannot say that it is from this day that ignorance came to be. Before that, no ignorance. Such thing cannot be said. No one can say that it is only from that day the ignorance came to be. In such a way, no beginning. You can't perceive the beginning of ignorance. So, avijjāya niyuto loko, the world, the person, is covered with avijjā, ignorance. Avijjāya niyuto loko. Vevicchā pamādā na prakāsati. Vevicchā is stinginess. Pamādā is unmindfulness. It is because of unmindfulness and stinginess that one cannot understand this, cannot see this, that one is covered with ignorance. One cannot see because of our unmindfulness and stinginess. Then, japa vilepanam brumi. The Buddha said japa. Japa means craving. It is through craving that we all are smeared. The craving is all over. That is the meaning. This craving is all over the person. These five aggregates are craving. Six bases are nothing but craving. Japa vilepanam brumi. Dukkhaṁ tassa mahabhayaṁ. The greatest fear to this person is suffering, dukkhaṁ. He again asks another question, another set of questions.
Savaṁ te sabba di sota, sota naṁ kiṁ nivāraṇaṁ. Sotanam saṅgaraṁ brūse kena sota pithiyare.
Ajita asked, savanti sabbadi sota bante. Venerable sir, streams flow everywhere. Streams flow everywhere, all over the streams. Savanti sabbadi sota. Sota nang kin nivaranam. With what should one should one control this stream? Sotanang sangvarang dusi, tell us what is the way to restrain, what is the way to control this stream? Kena sota pitiyari, how should one completely stop this stream? How should one completely stop this, dried out this stream? Then Buddha said,
Yāni sotāni lokasmiṃ satite saṃ nivāraṇaṃ sotānaṃ saṃ varaṃ brūṣe paññā ete pitthēyare.
Yāni sotāni lokasmiṃ. Sota means streams, streams of craving. We have six types of craving, six types of stream craving. I craving, it is a stream. Buddha compared craving to a stream. Tanha nadi, nadi is stream. Nadi means stream, river. So craving of I, craving in I, that is called I craving, then ear craving, nose craving, tongue craving, body craving and mind craving. Six types of craving. So this is what we call all streams. All streams means this only these six. Only six. These six cravings, six streams should be controlled, should be dried out, completely stopped. Otherwise we cannot attain enlightenment. In order to stop this, we have to practice vipassana. We have to practice insight. So, craving in the eye should be ceased, should be stopped in the eye. The craving in the ear should be stopped in the ear. Craving in the nose should be stopped in the nose. The craving in the tongue should be stopped in the tongue. Craving in the body should be stopped in the body. Then craving in the mind should be stopped in the mind. So to stop this, the Buddha said, Yāni sotāni lokasmiṃ, whatever the streams in the world, in this person, sati tesaṃ nivāraṇaṃ, to control. Control can be done only through sati. What is sati? Mindfulness. It is only through sati, only through mindfulness. You see the importance of practice in mindfulness? It is only through mindfulness one can restrain, one can stop this, one can cut off it, stop it. Sati tesaṃ nivāraṇaṃ sotānaṃ saṃvaraṃ bhūmi paññā ete pitiyare. In order to stop it, completely stop it, you have to develop your paññā, wisdom. Only through paññā, the Buddha said, through mindfulness, you can control it. Then you need wisdom to completely stop it, stop the stream of craving. Paññā ete pithiyare. There was another student, another disciple named Moga Raja. This is really the vipassana, how vipassana should be applied. He asked, these 16 students are very intelligent persons. They are quite practiced. They know Dhamma. They are eminent, prominent students. So this person named Moga Raja, the student named Moga Raja, he asked, Katam lokam avekkantam machu raja napassati bante, how should one see the world So that one is not seen by Mara. In other words, Bhante, how should one see the world so that one would not die? That was the question. The Buddha said, Sunyato lokam avekkasu mogaraja sada sato attana ditting uhaccha evang machu tarosya evang lokam avekkantam machu raja napassati. So Buddha said, Sunyato lokam avekkasu. See the world as empty. See the world as empty. If you want to prevent, if you want to escape from death, see the world as empty. Sunyato lokam avekkasu moga raja sada sato. Be all the time mindful. Sada sato. Always be mindful. Sada sato. Sata, sato, sati is here again mindfulness. Be always be mindful. Sada sato. Then attana ditting uhacha. Whatever the view of atta, self view, whatever the self view that you have, uproot it. Uproot it. Attana ditting uhacha. Evang machu tarosya. In this way, in such a way, you can go beyond death, beyond Mara. You can go beyond death. Attana ditting uhacha evang machu tarosya evang lokam avekkantam machu rajana passati. If one sees the world in this way, the Mara will not see him. That is the meaning. So here, friends, the word emptiness, see the world as empty, the Buddha said. See the world as empty. This term, you might have heard this many times. Perhaps sometimes we hear this whenever we go to some Mahayana centers. They use this term. All the time they use this word, emptiness. This is emptiness, that is emptiness, 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 emptiness. But some people don't know what emptiness is. Emptiness, it does not mean that there is nothing. Emptiness means, we have to ask the questions. Emptiness with what? Emptiness with what? Is the question to be asked. Emptiness with permanent entity? Emptiness with satisfaction? Emptiness with soul? This is what is emptiness. According to Buddhism, this is what is emptiness. It is empty. No permanent entity. That is what is called empty. No entity. No permanent entity. No substance there. Everything is changing. Through our perverted view, distorted perception, we see permanent in impermanent. We see permanent things, we try to grasp permanent as in impermanent. We try to grasp satisfactory to unsatisfactory. We try to grasp soul to unsoul or non-self, selflessness. It is because of our distorted perception, perverted view. But when we see clearly, when we develop our wisdom, develop our mindfulness, develop our insight, we can see that there is no such thing to be grasped as permanent. That is why it is called impermanent. Things are impermanent. As the Bhante mentioned, things are permanently impermanent. Permanently impermanent. So, whatever we grasp, whatever we cling to, then it is unsatisfactory. So, whatever is in the nature of impermanent, it is in the nature of unsatisfactory. Whatever is in the nature of impermanent, unsatisfactory, it is in the nature of soullessness. So if we grasp anything as mine, or I am, or myself, then there is suffering. If we do not grasp anything as mine, I am, or myself, then we don't want to suffer. That is why Buddha, in many discourses, said, "See things as they are." To see things as they are, we all have to practice mindfulness, and we all have to develop insight, vipassana. When we develop vipassana, our insight, we can see that things are not mine. This is not mine. This I am not. This is not myself. But it is the intrinsic nature of mere beings that we grasp things as "this is mine." We always grasp things as "this is mine," "this I am," "this is myself." Because we have no insight. If we have no insight, we grasp in such a way. So whenever we develop insight, we see things as they really are. Where we see that "this is not mine," "this I am not," "this is not myself." And this is impermanent, this is unsatisfactory, this is soulless. Friends, this is the way to see. This is why we all have to practice mindfulness and insight. When we practice insight, vipassana, we can see this reality. When we see this reality, we do not want to cling to things in society. The purpose of practicing is to live in society peacefully, happily. If we see this truth, we do not cling to things. We do not repulse from things. Neither repulsion, no clinging. We can live happily, peacefully in this society. And as the ultimate result, we all can completely extirpate, completely cut off defilements and attain enlightenment as the highest result, the best result of practicing vipassana. Let's all practice, continue our practice, so that we can live happily, peacefully, and realize real peace, real happiness of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.